I grew up in an incorporated city called West University Place, located right in the middle of and within the boundaries of the city of Houston. It remains a city in and of itself to this very day. I went to the same schools that my dad went to. His family had moved to Houston from East Texas in 1939. And so when my mother and he got married, my mother left her home, which was in the shadow of downtown Houston. And my grandmother said to my mother, "I don't know why you want to move all the way out there." Now, if you know anything about Houston and its proximity to West University Place, you know that it's about a 10-minute drive now on the freeway. But I attended Westview Elementary School, and then when it was time to graduate from there in the sixth grade, after that sixth grade year, I went to Houston across Bel Air Boulevard to a junior high, Pershing Junior High, and I had arrived in that seventh grade year. Now, I remember the first time that I made a visit back to the elementary school. And I went down that sixth grade hall that had just seemed so big compared to those self-contained classrooms that I had been in before the sixth grade. And as I walked down the hall of the sixth grade, it felt like really small compared to the spacious grandeur of that big junior high school I was going to. And it occurred to me that suddenly that old place just wasn't big enough to hold the dreams and the goals of a mature seventh grade girl. I had moved on to a new place. Now, today's passage from Isaiah gives us a glimpse of what it means to move on to the next place. Verse 16 starts with these words, "This is what the Lord says." But then the next words aren't God's words. They're a description of God's action with the Hebrew people all through histories. And it reminds us of the time that God parted the waters in the Red Sea to allow the Israelites to walk across without being drowned, and where he defeated the Egyptian army as it raced after those Hebrews. We don't really get to God's words until verse 18. So this is what God says. Forget all of that. Don't dwell in the past. Now notice that God is not saying to forget the past necessarily. He just says don't dwell in the past. And there's a significant difference between remembering the past and dwelling in the past. God is calling those Hebrew people to go to the next place, to a place that's going to lead them through desert and wilderness, but God is saying, I will lead you through it. I will give you streams of water and rivers in the desert. God is saying, wake up from your lethargy. I'm taking you back home, and it's not going to look anything like it used to. You see, this passage takes place while the Hebrews are still in exile in Babylon. And they had been there for several generations. Many of those Hebrews had grown quite comfortable in their bondage. In fact, they were so comfortable that home, that is Jerusalem, didn't even sound enticing to them. They had become prosperous in Babylon, making good money and providing good livelihoods for themselves and for their families. God's provision had become a dim recollection for some and a completely unattainable goal for others. They couldn't even remember that God had given them provision in the desert. Many of them had forgotten God, and they were clinging to memories of what they heard happened. But God invites them back with a promise. He promises to take them across the wilderness. And not just to give them a little drink of water, but to provide rivers in the desert. And he says, I will even cause the wild animals to be peaceful. Verse 21 says, the people I have formed for myself will praise me. In a nutshell, what God is saying is this: I will provide for you. I have always provided you. Remember that. Come home with me again to see what I have in store for you, my chosen people. Now, how many of you have ever heard somebody say, the Lord will provide? You can put your hands up. Oh, we've all heard that, right? You can't even count the number of times you've heard it. We've all heard the Lord will provide. And although I've heard it many times, I don't know how many it is. And I can't say that every single time I have heard that said, that things turned out exactly like I thought they would. Because they don't always work out exactly the way that I think they will. But this always works out. God really does provide for us all the time, in all situations. Now, that doesn't mean that all I have to do is ask God for a new car and one will appear. Although there are some that preach that kind of belief. God does provide for us all the time. And God has been at it since the very beginning of time, and God will continue to provide for us until the very last instant of time. But here's the deal. People are basically insecure, self-centered, and impatient. Can I say that again? People are basically insecure, self-centered, and impatient. At least I know I am. I am all of those things. You see, we're not really all that good at seeing God's action in our lives. And too often, we take credit for our own prosperity and not give God the praise as he asks us to in this passage. We have come to a place where we have confused God's provision with financial security. But the two are not the same. Generally speaking, people are pretty good at making ends meet and finding enough to get by. So I don't think God is talking to the Hebrews about stuff, about financial security. We've become so accustomed to seeing provision as things, and the culture is all too happy to keep that notion alive. Look at Amazon.com. Anybody ever heard of Amazon.com? All right, raise your hand if you haven't. That's what I thought. We're almost dependent on Amazon.com at this point. It originally started in 1994 as a bookstore. That's all they carried were books. But after a few years, its founder, Jeff Bezos, began to expand to do new things. And over the year, Amazon has turned into a worldwide store, selling just about anything you could ever want. They sell everything from paper clips to a new house. Yes, you can buy a new house on Amazon. Now get this next part. In 2015, Amazon posted $107 billion in net sales, not gross. Net sales. Now, when Amazon started back in 1994, their shipping was very traditional. It usually involved a wait of 5 to 7 business days or thereabout, and most people were very happy to wait that long. And then they introduced Amazon Prime in 2005. Amazon Prime is something that lets you pay a flat rate for the year for free 2-day shipping. Oh my gosh. But wait, there's more. Now, in certain metropolitan areas, there's something called Amazon Now. We don't qualify, so don't get excited about this. But in certain metropolitan areas, you can get your things from Amazon in 1 hour for $8. or for free if you're willing to wait 2 hours. Pretty amazing. But here's the bottom line. Amazon has spoiled us. God doesn't deliver like Amazon does. God delivers something that Amazon can't deliver. Most of us love the change that Amazon has brought to our lives, free and fast stuff, faster than ever. No waiting. But God provides something that Amazon can never, ever, ever provide for us. He provides faith and he provides patience to show us that sometimes it takes a period of years to get through trials and hazards that come along the way. And God never says we're not going to have trials and hazards, does he? But God does promise to give us the peace that comes from a relationship with him. This passage in the middle of chapter 43 actually goes all the way back to verse 1, where it says that God is going to bring people through water without them getting drowned and through the fire without getting burned. Do you remember those verses from several weeks ago? That kind of provision is not talking about financial security. It is speaking of peace in the midst of trials. And that is the one thing that God can provide for us that we cannot provide for ourselves. We're going to show you a little 2-minute video real quick, and Jerry's going to bring that up for us. What God provides, not stuff, not financial security. God provides us peace in the midst of daily trials. Ask anyone who has dealt with a terminal illness, who has dealt with the loss of a loved one, who has dealt with continual depression, who has dealt with so many difficulties, and they will tell you, Amazon can't provide that. Only God can provide that kind of provision. Only God can meet those kinds of needs in our lives. It is only God who can draw us out of our lethargy and into a new way of being. When we rely on our own strength or when we avoid the new challenges before us, we can't focus on what God can and will do, and on what God has always done. The Lord will provide. And the water that God gives to us is sweet, not bitter. It is refreshing, not stale. It is living water, not stagnant. And so let us remember as we go through these next weeks, as we go through the rest of our lives, every time there's a need, to remember that God will provide our needs no matter where we are or where we are going. Remember that, not the stuff that God provides, but the fact that God always has and always will provide. I'm going to leave you with a song this morning, and I invite you just to kind of close your eyes and pray through this song as I sing. When the road ahead is long and it seems all hope is gone, there is one that you can call upon. When the burden's hard to bear, remember God is there to help you face the task that he's prepared. The Lord will provide. He's put a river in the desert for all who are thirsty and in need. So take a drink of the water and call upon his name. For those who love the Lord will be saved. Just remember where you are is a place to serve the Lord. He will use your gifts to do his will. If the pathway isn't plain, he'll be with you just the same, to guide and protect you in his name. The Lord will provide. He's put a river in the desert for all who are thirsty and in need. So take a drink of the water and call upon his name. For those who love the Lord will be saved. The Lord will provide. He's put a river in the desert for all who are thirsty and in need. So take a drink of the water and call upon his name. For those who love the Lord will be saved. So take a drink.